Jones again, just outside the box, Curtis Jones. Good play. Back to Robertson, low cross, cleared away. It's McAllister shoot!
Indeed, that was Steve Hunter's commentary of the crucial goal here at Anfield as man of the moment, Alexis McAllister, put Liverpool 2-1 up in their 3-1 win over Sheffield United. Darwin Núñez and Cody Gakpo also on the score sheet as the Reds return to the top of the Premier League. I am Becky Davis and you're listening to The Reaction. Over the course of this podcast, we'll bring you the thoughts of Cody Gakpo, Curtis Jones and Jurgen Klopp too, as well as our pundits, former Red striker Neil Mellor and Kolo Touré as well, who's joined us pitch side. First, though, to our interview with Gakpo, which kicked off LFC TV's Matchday Reaction Show.
Cody, very well done. How difficult a match was that to take control of again after Sheffield United got back into it?
I think before the goal, even we were good in possession. I think we had a lot of possession, but these games, you have the feeling you need to score like the second, the third one, because you never know what will happen, and it happened. So they scored, and then after, I think we tried to stay calm. I think we did it really well, not being in a rush to score the second one. And forget all the things we did before. So I think we did really well on that point. And then at the end, Maka scored a beauty, big relief. And I think after that, it was like game over. You know.
You came on when it's 1-1. What does the manager say to you in that situation? Because we've seen this season the substitutes consistently come on and make a big, big impact in the game. And that's not always easy.
No, it's not easy. But I think what he said is always like we need to bring extra energy. An impulse, for me, because I'm an attacker, attacking wise, and also defending wise. In the counter press, we need to give that an extra boost, energy wise. And often when we did that this season, it worked out very well. So today again, I think Robbo substitute came in, gave me the assist. So that's well done.
It's been a big difference this season. Do you think that's sort of something that's built and built as well? When you come on now, there's a belief there that you can make an impact, because we see it time and time again.
Yeah, I think that's what this team is all about. I think we have so much quality and other players, and the manager can only start 11. So everybody is like eager to perform well for the team, for himself, for the club, for the fans when he is coming on. So and when it started to going well at the beginning of the season, I think everybody had that belief when, okay, I'm not starting today, but when I come on, you never know what's going to happen. If I put all of my energy out there, then beautiful things can happen.
And just finally, what's it like being a player at the moment in the middle of this title race with three teams almost neck and neck at the top of the table? For supporters watching on, it can be nerve-wracking, it can be exciting. As a player, how is it?
Obviously you are aware of the situation, but I think we try to just approach every game at the time to stay calm. Obviously your mind can go all over the place when you are thinking about the end of the season, but I think we just have to take it, and we're doing it at the moment game by game, and we're doing it pretty well now, and we just need to stay calm and stay focused.
Well done tonight, very good goal.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, Tom.
Oh, he's a very cool customer, isn't he, Cody Gakpo? I'm not sure whether our nerves were quite as calm as his, but it was a game that was much tougher, I think, to watch than maybe we had anticipated, Mels. But at the end of the day, 3 points in the bag.
Exactly that. We did what was needed. Perhaps we thought it was going to be a little bit easier than it actually was, or a little bit more emphatic than it actually was. They made it difficult for us. You have to give Sheffield United credit. But when you look back on the game, we've scored 3 goals. We've had a lot more opportunities to have maybe scored more goals than that. And I think one of the big tests tonight was at 1-0, which was a surprise when they equalised, start the second half. The fans got behind the team. The manager made a few changes and the subs made an impact. And you could just sense the belief with 30 minutes to go that at 1-1 there was still more left in this group of players, and in the end ran out comfortable winners in the end.
It is that belief, isn't it, Cola? We've seen it time and time again where this team just never ever gives up and always goes to the very end. And it felt like when Alexis McAllister got that goal, the second goal, there was obviously only one winner from that point.
Absolutely. I felt that it was a tough game, I would say, because tactically Sheffield played well. You know, their game plan was to stay in the block, you know, 5-3-2, and they made it really difficult for us, you know, for Liverpool. And I think it was and then we scored a goal early, you know, and which did help. But I think that McAllister goal just made the team much more relaxed, I can say, because before that it was a tough game, I would say, you know, and we know that those games will be like that. End of the season, there's a pressure. When we say like when the team that you are competing against, Arsenal and Manchester City, play before you, is always difficult. It's always difficult because when they win, the pressure is straight on you, and we could see that today, the players, they couldn't find their rhythm because they played against a really good block. Five of the black is always difficult to break, but at the end of the day, you know, 3 points is really important.
I think we'll see that a lot between now and the end of the season. What is there, 8 Premier League games to go? I just feel as though, Cola mentioned it there, we mentioned it before the game, the importance of wanting to go first, play the games first, and having the pressure to do what we need to do, rather than knowing they've won, our rivals have won. Because there'll be times between now and the end of the season when City and Arsenal are in that position, will they panic or won't they panic? Liverpool tonight at 1-1, how are the players going to react? Were they going to panic and start maybe a little bit frustrated, maybe trying things that they shouldn't have been doing, but they didn't. They carried on doing the good habits that they've been in and got the rewards in the end.
Yeah, we saw Cody Gakpo there obviously put the gloss on it, Carlo, but let's speak about that goal from Alexis McAllister. Goal of the night and probably performance of the night as well from him individually too, I think.
Yeah, I think for me he's the guy who controlled the rhythm of the game. You can see when he wants to accelerate the game, he can do it. When he wants to slow down the game, he can do it as well. And when the ball end up on him, you know what was going to happen. You know, it's fantastic. He got unbelievable strike. But I think he's a really, really important player for the team. But one thing I want to say is when you play against a back five and that's the defend in front of the box, it's very, very hard to score. And if you know, we saw that the striker never had clear occasion to score, and that can only come from the midfield, and that's what happened there. McAllister's shot was perfect, and that's what you need, because sometimes the striker are blocked, they can't do much, and they need the midfield to make those shots to score goals.
A couple of times in the first half as well, McAllister went close, remember that one? Goalkeeper beaten, just missed the post. Szoboszlai put one in the top bin, that was a good save as well, but the response was good at 1-0. Van Dijk had that header saved. How did the goalie save that one? Kept it out. Robertson had that big chance at the back post. You're thinking, oh, some of the fans thought it was in. Just wide, wasn't it? So the response was really good from when we had that setback at 1-1.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at that goal, Alexis McAllister, obviously it was in front of the cot, which we're stood here. He almost got sucked into the cot, such was that, I think, the sigh of relief collectively. You could feel that tension and just how much it meant at the time.
Yeah, and there's a player, and Cola mentioned it, the fact that he was so involved in the game. There's a player who's really in good rhythm at the moment. His confidence is up. He's playing very well. He played a little bit deeper today in the sixth role. He's on a great run of scoring goals. You know, he really is in terms of, for Liverpool this season, he hasn't got that many, but recently he has really contributed, and that's what he's capable of. And Cola mentioned it, if the spaces aren't there for the strikers, that's when you need one of your midfielders to pop up. And that's an area where Liverpool, again, have improved this season. Goals from midfield, how important are they going to be? Because that one was a big goal tonight.
Let's speak about the substitutions, because I think there were a fair few who came on and really, really performed. Andy Robertson being one, Curtis Jones, of course, Cody Gakpo as well with the goal, Carlo.
The sub has been the key for me tonight. They came in, they were positive, they were aggressive, you know, and that's why I think managing your squad is so important, and that's what Jürgen does. He knows how to manage his squad. You know, sometimes you have players that when they don't start the game, when they're coming in the game, you can feel they're frustrated because they haven't started. You don't see that with Liverpool. You know, when you have players coming from the bench, you can see that they want to show, they want to prove, they're happy to coming and do their part to help the team. And the substitute came in, they were unbelievable and they played very well. They made the difference. Elliot was very, very good. Andy Robertson was really, really good, make some few crosses. And, you know, that's what you need. You need a squad to win Premier League.
It's been a strength all season. No, it's not just today, is it? All season, I think Liverpool have one of the most in the Premier League, where the players have been coming off the bench and contributing at vital times. I mean, we've got quality players to come off the bench, which definitely helps compared to some of the teams in the Premier League, but they're coming off the bench and really contributing at vital moments.
And also, obviously, we give credit to the players, rightly so, but credit to the boss as well for knowing exactly what is needed at exactly the right time, always.
Absolutely. He knows his players and he knows when to bring which player. And I think for me, Jones, when he came in again, he was really good. He was very good because he controlled the game there as well. He helped McAllister on the middle. He always get the ball, want to get the ball, play forward, and can break the line of pass, break a line with his quality to break the line of pass. And that's what you need. You need players who can make the difference. You need players who can come and bring what the team need at one point on the game.
Let's just talk about possession, because I can tell you it was 83.1% for Liverpool. Now, you and I do the review show every week. That is, well, I can tell you, it is the highest, actually, for any team in a Premier League game since Opta started doing the stats in the 03-04 season. I mean, obviously, three goals in the end. There was a concern, I think, at half-time that possession was not being translated into goals, maybe.
Yeah, I think possession with purpose, which is what you need out there.
Yeah.
We knew Sheffield United's game plan. You know, they were going to sit back and they try and frustrate us, try and limit the space we had. I thought they were organised a lot. Mm. They were disciplined. They had to be for large periods of that game. But they knew at times they would be opened up and would we take the chances. And at times in the game, we didn't take those chances. I mean, the possession there, the likes of McAllister kept moving the ball a little bit deeper. So we've got players who can keep the ball. And Sheffield United's plan was to break quickly, which is where they got the goal from, or from a set piece where they nearly scored very early on. But that's high, 80-odd percent. It's frustrating as well, because Sheffield United think they're coming again. They don't get a kick of the ball. So when they're under pressure, they get the ball, they're giving it a straight back, and then we can go at them again to try and create another chance.
You have now surpassed last season's points total, which of course was 67, with 8 games to spare. I mean, it is incredible how quickly this team has gelled together.
Absolutely, and that's down to the boss, to the manager. He knows how to create a group of players who can understand each other, who can work together. And of course, last season was tough, but this season I think he created a group of players where they want to work together, they want to play together, they understand each other. And I think the recruitment has been really, really good, in my opinion.
Do you think the news that maybe Jürgen said he was leaving at the end of the season, there's sort of a bit more in that dressing room to say we want to really go on? A few of the players have mentioned it, haven't they, where they're saying we really want to end on a high for Jürgen. Maybe that's impacted things, the way things are going at the moment.
Yeah, we see. For me, at the start, when he announced that he won't be here for next season, I was a little bit scared. You know, I was thinking maybe the players will think, okay, he won't be there next season, we don't have to show him too much. But again, when you appreciate somebody and you know that that person will leave, what you want to do, you want to please him, you want to make sure when he leave in the high. And that's what the players do. They want to they appreciate him, they love him, and they want to show him that that we do the best for him to end up on the high.
Yeah, I think obviously amongst supporters when that news came out, there's that concern that it might go the other way, and there's sort of that fragility of what's going to happen in the future. But it has definitely had the opposite effect. It's just galvanised everyone so much.
Incredible. And again, that's down to the man, because, you know, you can be the best tactician. When the players, you know, don't have that connection with you, it's not the same. You know, when I used to play for every club that I've been playing for, when I used to play my best, it was when I was appreciating the manager, you know, because every time I'm there on the pitch, I want to please him. I want to show him that he chose me to play, and I want to give him back the trust that he gave me, you know. And I think that's what the players giving to Jürgen.
You've been to Anfield a couple of times this season. We've been at pretty much every game. Can you feel that connection, that togetherness out there? You could hear the crowd getting behind the team. It's so powerful, isn't it?
Absolutely. It, Liverpool always had that, you know, the connection between the fans and the players. And, you know, the connection between the fans and the manager and the players are incredible right now. And the football that the team is playing is what the fans love, you know, and that's why they just follow straight away, because those fans here, they know the game. You know, they know when you play good football, they are behind you. When you're not playing very well, they can be hungry, which is normal.
Let's get some reaction from Jurgen Klopp now. Here is what the boss had to say to the media in his post-match press conference.
Jurgen, have you summed that up when your 25th and 26th goal in the last 15 minutes of a Premier League game this season takes you back to the top of the table?
Yeah, that's a minute you have to take it, obviously, like you. Get it if you want. Would prefer to be 5-0 up at that moment already, but that's tricky. So we scored on one of my favorite goals ever, 1-0, because just for all, I think a striker from time to time needs that kind of things. So I ask him quite a lot to press the opponent, and it's pretty rare that you get really close enough to have this kind of block, but he did, and then scores 1-0. That's great. And then these kind of games are difficult, and low block, knowing, obviously learning that their set pieces are really tricky after 20 seconds when they could have been 1-0 up, which would have been really funny again. And then in the next corner, again, the ball goes through and there's nobody at the far post, thank God. Otherwise, it would have been again a big chance. Then obviously we controlled the game, but there are different ways to control a football game, and the way we controlled it today was not the right one. Without creating, not enough creating. I don't expect now that we have chance after chance after chance, because they didn't even have counter-attacks, if I'm right. It's like it was, if I would have asked the boys for counter-press, but it wasn't necessary because we won the ball back anyway. So it's like you don't even have these kind of moments. What you have to do, and we saw that, and after 60 minutes, you have to accelerate, you have to speed up, you have to overlap, underlap, and that's what we did. Of an example, Robbo then going down the line constantly, which was really helpful. That's the problem. The game was a difficult one to get rhythm, but we should have had a better rhythm than we had. That's what we got after 60 or whatever, and then we needed then Maka's wonder goal, obviously, to turn it properly around. But the third goal was exactly like it should have been before already. These kind of moments, Robbo, full speed, wonderful cross, sensational header. And then we won the game. So in the end, all good. But I don't know when we will face next time like a similar challenge. So probably all the other games are now different, especially the next one. So, But super positive, the boys coming on, Curtis back, so Robbo trained now, I don't know exactly, 3 days or so back, really helpful. Harvey, Cody, not out, but a really good game, which he needed as well, so really pleased, and that helps, obviously. Nobody got injured, as far as I know, today. So recovery started already, you know. We recover and go again.
Alexis as well, it appeared that he was at the heart of everything good tonight, and it's 4 goals in his last 5 games, but also the second goal that he scored this evening, he's actually winning the ball back in his own half before then popping up on the edge of the box. How would you describe the influence that he's become on this side?
Yeah, I would rather prefer you all use your eyes and just say what you see, because it's obvious, I would say. So super, super important player for us. What a wonderful boy. I met his dad after the game. He said, thank you. I said, gracias. Eh? That was the full conversation. Hola, I said as well. So, and then my Spanish ends. Wonderful player. Wonderful player, wonderful boy. Really happy for Liverpool that we got him.
Just on Alexis, obviously changed the position now, and today you're like moving back into that more advanced role rather than as a six. How much more of an impact can he have from that more advanced role?
I understand about 100% that's coming now, but he played a good game in the first half already. It was not about him being in the wrong position. So you can play in a game like this with a footballing six if you want, definitely. It makes probably even more sense. but all the movements around were then not exactly like we should. It was not, if we talk about Maka and is he better on 8 or 6, then there are two different subjects to talk about. One is then, what is it, his defensive part, that was obviously really good. So, where people probably were doubting a little bit, can he be this kind of defensive midfielder? But for the other position, it's he could have had a similar impact. Yes, I prefer as well him on 8, but it's not a, we're not living in dreamland, so we had a problem on the position tonight, and in the end it worked out. But yes, impact. We saw as well that it would be helpful to have him between the lines, between the right lines, last line, their last line, and midfield line, not on the other side. That's why we changed. But then we changed back to double six. They was deeper again, and I don't even exactly know when he scored. If it was from the double six, probably. We played already 4-4-2, I think, and it was not on 8. But the impact he can have is massive everywhere, from everywhere.
Just on Mataro, then also missed out tonight. Will he be fit for Sunday?
That's my information. Yeah. We rested him today. We had the feeling that could be a chance for tonight. But if we leave him out, then there's a big chance for Sunday, and I hope that didn't change.
Just a quick break in today's show to remind you that there are two series of We Are Liverpool available to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. It's where you'll hear from current and former players about their lives off the pitch and career on it. We've got Andy Robertson's car-sharing stories with his brother, Lucas Leiva's humbling phone call to Jurgen Klopp after he left the club, how Curtis Jones celebrated that goal against Everton in the FA Cup, why Dirk Kuyt played a key role in Luis Suarez signing from Ajax, and lots more fascinating insights and stories ready for you to hear. Every episode of We Are Liverpool is available now, and make sure to give us a follow so you don't miss any future shows. Right, let's get back to today's show.
Having been in a dressing room with him, you know, for example, at half-time when it's a difficult situation and almost so tense because it's not what we were expecting in that first half, not the position maybe the team would have expected to be in. Give us an insight into how he would approach that and, you know, what words he would offer to the team at halftime.
He give clarity. He give clarity. And when you go inside, tactically he's very good. You know, he knows what he need to change tactically. And as well, he give you the motivation and he give you the belief that doesn't matter what happened, you're going to come back. Or, you're going to score the goal. And he's always positive. I never saw Jürgen in a negative mood, honestly. He's so such a special man, honestly. You know, and tactically for me, he's really good, which is very important.
What would he have been saying? Because 1-0, we were all saying at halftime in the press room, need a second goal, because at 1-0, they're still in the game, and sure enough, start the second half, they go and get the equalising goal. Is that the sort of thing he would have been saying, maybe? Get the second goal and don't let them get back into this game.
Absolutely. That's why he wants, because he knows that in the Premier League, 1-0 is not the best score because at the end of the game, there's a set pieces, you can consider set pieces. I'm sure you push your team to score the second one, definitely.
It's interesting when you speak about, you know, how he kind of deals with the players and the expectations over the coming weeks, because he has so much experience of being in this position, but it's a squad that there aren't that many players left from the team that won it in 2019-20. So what will he be saying to them over the coming days and weeks to make sure that there's that level-headedness about the process?
Exactly what Cody said, you know, just stay calm. You know, the environment won't change. Jürgen will stay calm. You know, you could see that even when the team conceded the goal, he was calm. You know, he's not panicking because he trusts his players. He knows that there's a moment where the opposition will create a gap and they're going to score. And that's what he does, you know. The environment is exactly the same. When you go in there, you're really happy to be there. You're really happy to train. And then, you know, he has his strategy. He has the tactic that he's going to apply. And then you have to just deliver it.
Yeah.
I think it's important as well not to underestimate how important that first trophy was, because when we won the League Cup against Chelsea, albeit quite a few players were injured, it was the first trophy for a lot of the new players.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about hoping to win, obviously, the Premier League and maybe the Europa League as well, which would be incredible. I feel as though winning that puts less pressure on what may come next for them. They've got that little taster and will certainly want more, won't they?
Absolutely. In you know, winning is infectious. You know, when you win, you want to win again. You know, that's the thing. And those players, they felt that happiness of winning the trophy there. They want to do it again, and because the feeling is special.
Tell us how difficult, as someone, obviously, you've got coaching experience yourself, how difficult is it to do the job that he has done this season, rebuilding certainly an entire midfield, if not the core of an entire team?
I think, I will say, it's very easy for him, because the most important is his style of play. He has a clear idea of what he expects from his players, from the defenders, from the midfield, from the strikers. And he just put the player in relation to his style of play. And that's why, you know, he rebuilt the team so easily. And I think, like I said before, it's so important to have a clear style of play and recruit players around that. That's what Jürgen does.
I suppose one of the difficulties has got to be players maybe that don't understand the Premier League. We thought McAllister would settle in, and he's been absolutely brilliant. But the likes of Szoboszlai, even Endo as well, you know, he arrived really late, didn't he, in the window. I thought we missed him today. You know, Endo, I hope he's back for the weekend against United. He just sort of frees McAllister to go further forward. Mm. I know he's done great tonight, McAllister, but when he freed up a little bit further forward. But the players who haven't experienced the Premier League, they were the big challenges for Jürgen to help settle into the club, weren't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. But again, like I say, you know, Jürgen like intensity. He like counter-pressing. And every day, that's what they're going to do at training. You know, the training is intense. There's a lot of pressing. There is a lot of counter-pressing. You know, there's a lot of attack. You know, you play short, you play long. You know, you are really unpredictable when you play with Jürgen.
OK, we're going to pause here for a moment and get some more post-match reaction. Mark Benstead is speaking with Curtis Jones.
Curtis, well done. How difficult did Sheffield United make that at times, even though you had so much of the ball and so much of the game?
We always knew it was going to be a hard game. You know, they're on a decent run now. They've had a couple of draws. So for them, you know, it's a step. And then, of course, you know, they play in a low block. They make it hard at times. And yet there, you know, just seeing it was 1-1 for a long time. But the boys who came on, you know, we played our part and we got the job done in the end. So happy days.
Sometimes it takes a moment of magic to unlock a game like that with a team sitting so deep. Alexis certainly delivered that.
Yeah.
As a fellow midfielder, talk us through your appreciation of how he's hit that.
I mean, you've seen it there yourself. It doesn't come, you know, it doesn't have to come from me. You know, the fans can see themselves. I was saying then, you know, it was a little bit of a mishit, but it was struck so clean. We've seen it already. His goal, I forgot it was against when
Fulham.
Against Fulham, yeah, of course, where he's put in the far corner. But you know, he's a big part of this team. And ever since he came, you know, you can see now, you know, he's playing with a confidence and ease. And he gets hold of the game by the scruff of the neck, and you know, he just showed it again there. For somebody like me who's coming back after a long time, it's good that a lad like him is on the pitch. It helps me, it helps the team, and he showed that again tonight.
How good is it to be back? How difficult has it been having to watch from the sidelines over the last few weeks, months?
Mixed emotions, if I'm honest. Of course, you know, it's been tough. I was on a good run with the opportunities and that were coming around, you know, he's in the comps and stuff. So, you know, it was game after game and I was playing a lot. And then, you know, as part of the game, I pick up an injury and I'm off it for a while. But then, of course, you know, I'm sat there on the side. The lads are playing it, smashing it, doing well, they're winning games. And I come back and, of course, yeah, we're out of a comp. But, you know, we're I'm coming back into a team who I've already won a comp. And, you know, we're top of the league. So, you know, it was hard, but I'm coming back with a smile on my face and I just want to get back in the team and help the team as much as I can.
In a strange way though, the fact that you've had a few times where you've had injuries when you've been flying, but then you've come back and picked up where you left off, does that help you come back in these situations because you know you've been able to do it a good few times now?
I just know how hard that'll work. And of course, you know, you can go and ask the lads, you can ask the staff, and the physios and stuff, you know, on days off and stuff, you know, I'm coming and I'm, you know, not here to brag in front of the camera and stuff, you know, it's just me. But I know how hard that I work. I know, you know, it was obviously a hard time, but I knew, you know, if I can get myself back fit, that you know, I think that I've earned it and right to come back and play. So yeah, you know, I've worked even harder. I've came back in. I've trained well, and yeah, I was expecting a chance there. You know, I've came on. I've played. I've done well. So I'm happy to be back, and I'm grateful for the manager and the staff for the trust that they put in me. Of course.
Good to see you back.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's happy to be back. We are happy to have him back as well. It's his first game since that injury against Brentford back in February, Mels. And just brilliant to see him back out there again.
Big boost. Yeah, I think it's a really big boost to have him back out there. Obviously, there's a lot left to play for. You know, 8 games in April, that's the first one out of the way. A big May ahead, hoping we can challenge for 2 trophies. And he's an important player because when he got injured, I felt as though he had the shirt. The starting shirt, you know, he started the season. He wasn't in the team to start with. He had that unfortunate red card at Spurs, so a little bit stop start. Then the injuries come along later on in the season. He's a very, very good player, and I'm hoping now that he's okay to finish the season off, because of Curtis Jones, fully fit, absolutely flying. You've seen him tonight. He's everything what Jurgen wants from a midfield player. He's got the legs in there, he's got the energy, he's got the counter press, he's got the creativity, and he's got the goals as well. So I'm really hoping he's over everything now and we can see a really strong end to the season from him.
Yeah, he was speaking very honestly there, Cola, about the situation. As Mel's just said, you know, it must be really difficult when you are flying yourself and then an injury happens. You're obviously watching your teammates doing really well, which is exactly what you want, but there must be a huge part of you that sat there going, I want to be a part of that as well. I guess both of you have been in that situation at some points.
The most difficult is, like you say, when you fit and then you get injury, and then you know that you have to walk again for 2 or 3 months to come back, you know, and it's so hard to get fit, you know, and you have a lot of hours working there, no one, you on your own really, or with the physios. And it's really, really difficult. And when you see your team doing very well and you see your team winning games, you really feel, you feel sad inside, because you want to be there and help them and enjoy the moment, because there is none player in the world who doesn't play who is happy.
Yeah.
You know, they all want to be on the pitch and play and enjoy themselves.
You want to be part of a winning team, but you know it's going to be harder when they are winning. That's the big thing. You want to come back and think, we're still competing for the title. And so he comes back in, and you can see he's full of confidence there, thinking what might be at the end of the season. But it was great to see him back out there and getting on the ball, because, you know, he's a player who can really influence some games this season.
He was very good. He was very good today when he came in. He's, because he got the speed, he got the energy to run, but he got the pass as well. And when he came in, he was really composed, and he helped the team build out the game. So, because when you play against a back five, it's always difficult, and you need technically really intelligent player who can break the line of pass, you know.
Yeah, and it does feel like Liverpool are getting big players back at a really good time. Obviously, Curtis comes back tonight. We've got Trent to come back very soon. Hopefully, Diogo Jota and Alisson as well. That's incredible for the running.
I think it's incredible that we've managed so well without some of these players. These players have missed 10 Premier League games. You know, a number of these players, and you have to give credit to everybody who's managed without some of these key players. But I think just seeing Curtis back out there gave everyone a boost. When Jota comes back, when Trent comes back again, that will give everyone a boost. It'll also give the manager some tough decisions to make. We were talking, weren't we? Love Conor Bradley, but Trent comes back, are you thinking, well, do they both play? How does that work out? There is a lot of games, you have to say. There's midweek games all the way till pretty much the last weekend of the season. So that there's plenty of games there, but some tough decisions in there for the manager.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think when they all are back, what happened, the level of the training increased, the level of the team increased, because you know that to play, you have to be in your best. And competition is the best coach, I will say, you know, for the players. And like I said, the manager will have a tough, tough decision to make, definitely.
Absolutely. Let's talk you through, first of all, Darwin Núñez. There was a huge slice of fortune about this one, I suppose. But I think it's just credit to Darwin Núñez for constantly having that endeavour and never giving up.
Absolutely. He's a player who doesn't never give up. He's a player who is a hard worker from Uruguay. And most of the time, they're really, really tough guys. And, you know, how many players we just run there and just go and throw themselves like he did. Credit to him, he did it, and he got the energy to do that, and that was a good goal, definitely.
We don't see too many of them, do we? Because that's a lot of centre forwards, you're thinking, well, he's going to just pass it out to the fullback or the centre half. He's going to make an option for him. The centre half for Sheffield United pointed and just said, "Go long." So he had no interest, and Nunes worked hard, and he got that little bit of luck, didn't he, for that opening goal, but he works his socks off there, and I was pleased for him to get that opener.
Yeah, let's just talk about him this year, so this calendar year, since the turn of 2024, 15 goal involvements in all competitions. That is 10 goals, 5 assists. That is the most of any player in the Premier League. He has certainly hit pretty much elite level this season, Colin.
Absolutely. I think he got unbelievable talent. He got unbelievable potential. I don't think he has reached his level yet. I think he's a player that will improve year by year, because he has speed, he has power, and he can score goals, you know, and he's missing a little bit of, he needs to be a little bit cleaner in front of the goal, you know, more clinical in front of the goal, and then I think he will reach his full potential. Really like him.
It feels like, and we speak about this again on the review show a lot, but this season he's starting to get the credit he deserves outside of Liverpool, whereas I think the fans who watch him week in, week out, even when he hasn't maybe been scoring a lot of goals, they've seen the value that he brings to this team.
Yeah, no, I think there's always been an appreciation from the fans. I think the manager spoke about that work rate, being more involved defensively for Liverpool when we don't have the ball, and I think he's really adapted that to his game, introduced that to his game, which has really helped him. It's helped the team. And also it helps the fact that we've got 5 players in attacking areas that have all got double figures this season. So we're not just relying. Nunes has got a score. Salah's getting goals. Diaz is getting goals. Gakpo's coming off the bench and scoring goals. So there's not that pressure. He has to be the main man. Mm. And I think that can help attacking players sometimes when they know that, you know, the pressure isn't just on them.
We're going to carry on talking about the game in a moment. I'm just going to break off to tell you that Chelsea have beaten Manchester United at Cole Palmer. It was 4-3 in the end with a winner in the 11th minute of injury time. That's made your like that, hasn't it? We are indeed. Right, back to the game. Just in terms of that goal, because Sheffield United, to be fair, had started the game pretty well. And I imagine Chris Wilder had his head in his hands after that incident, but you can't legislate for something like that, can you?
They should have scored after 30 seconds. Mm. You spoke about it before the game. Set pieces, one of them, a long throw from just where we were stood here. Little flick on. The lad's onside. He should have scored. That was a big chance. I think you have to give Kelleher credit again.
Yeah, it was a big save.
Yeah, it's a big save. He's covered himself on the near post. You could say the striker should score, but it's a big save at a key moment in the game. Obviously, it was a long way to go from then. But even from the corner after it, they whipped the ball in and somebody maybe should have gotten the end of it. So a little bit of a warning early on where maybe they should have scored the opening goal.
Yeah, and there was then obviously the really unfortunate Colo equaliser via Conor Bradley. Didn't know too much about it. It was kind of headed back across goal, wasn't it? Deflects in off him. I think something that you couldn't say was coming, but equally it wasn't too much of a surprise at the time either.
No, it wasn't a surprise, because second half, I think, we wanted to score the goal and the team start to push, and instead of being a little bit cautious and build the game slowly by making, you know, short passes, the game became a little bit of box-to-box game, and the team start missing easy passes, and they had few chances where they could break a few times, and I think that goal came a little bit from there as well, because we lost control of the game a little bit because we wanted to score the second goal, but very unfortunate from Bradley. You can't do anything there. You know, ball just come on your feet, touch and go. You know, you cannot do anything on this one.
Yeah, we touched on, obviously, Alexis McAllister at the start of the show, but he's becoming a master of goals like that. I think there was a bit of a word in an interview post-match when he said the lads have been comparing it to the Fulham strike, and they said the Fulham strike was lucky, he said, that they told him, and so he had to do it again to kind of prove that it wasn't just luck.
Well, do you know what? And the Fulham game felt a little bit similar, sort of inside the stadium. We expected to beat them. Mm-hmm. We expected to beat them comfortably. It was 3-2. And we needed a couple of late goals to win that game. And again tonight, 1-1, you're thinking, well, we should be winning this game. Yeah. And we needed that moment of brilliance from McAllister. But that's what we have in the team. We have different ways of scoring goals and beating teams. So if you want to sit back, and which Sheffield United did, OK, well, we'll put one in the top corner from the edge of the box, because we've got players who are capable of that. I haven't seen enough replays yet to see if that goal was better than the Fulham one, but it was a cracker, wasn't it, tonight?
Oh, amazing goal. But McAllister, he has that on him. as soon as I saw the ball going on his feet, I was like, yeah, you know, something will happen there, definitely. He got the quality to strike. His positioning was really good because he was in front of the box. It was perfect goal, great goal.
It feels like he's been unleashed in the last few weeks, doesn't it, in terms of obviously now being in that more forward position, which is his natural habitat, if you like.
Yeah, I think he's had a really good season. I think we are seeing him at top level. It feels as though he's at a top level at the moment. And as a player, I think the manager mentions it about being in a rhythm. He's in the top rhythm at the moment. He nearly scored again, an absolute worldy free kick.
Yeah.
How close was that? When he rattled the crossbar, the goalie was nowhere near that. But yeah, I mean, like I say, one of the strengths we have is we can score a variety of different ways.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Virgil van Dijk from set pieces. You've got McAllister from the edge of the box. I think Szoboszlai as well can contribute from outside the area. And then you've got your attacking players who cause defenders all kinds of problems and get different ways of scoring goals.
And Cody Gakpo finally obviously making the scoreline Kolo look a lot more satisfying. I mean, first of all, it was a header from a fair distance out. You know, great goal for him, but it was a great sequence leading up to it as well.
He came in very well. He was really lively. He was involved in a lot of action. And the cross from Andy Robertson was fantastic cross, you know, and he has just to attack the ball and finish. But he's been, Cody came very well in the game, definitely.
I thought he looked sharp. I was surprised how sharp he looked, because as a player, you're not playing, you're thinking, will he have that sharpness? Subs again, did great. Andy Robertson, I thought Harvey Elliott was magnificent. Some of the crosses he put in the box as well. Could have had an assisting goal himself. So really good to see the contribution from the subs. That was the linking up Andy Robertson to Gakpo.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, as a striker yourself, you know what goals can do for confidence, and he's had tough times at times this season, so that will do wonders for
Cody Gakpo's a player who can play nine, he can play out left, we've seen him as sort of a 10 and an 8 at times in midfield as well. He's a very clever player, so he can have that flexibility. As a player, he's challenged because he knows he's probably not starting most weeks. So you're thinking, well, where's my game time coming? And like you said, you've got to have that mindset when you come off the bench to think, right, well, when my game time comes, I'm not going to sulk. I'm going to show, right, I can contribute to the game. And that's what he did tonight. And he's going to be needed again. Between now and the end of the season, the Europa League games, other Premier League games, he will be needed to do the same again.
Just a quick break in the show to tell you there's never been a better time to show your support for the Reds. Whether it's getting kitted out with this season's Nike home strip, checking out the new arrivals to our training range, or if you want to roll back the years with a shirt from our retro range, the Liverpool FC store has everything you need. And right now, there's even savings of up to 50% on this season's away kit while stocks last. Visit a store today. Go online at liverpoolfc.com/store or download the official LFC store app to find what you're looking for. Right, let's get back to the show. Welcome back to Anfield, where tonight here the pendulum has swung back Liverpool's way in the title race. Top of the Premier League once again, thanks to a nervy at times 3-1 win over Sheffield United tonight. Goals from Darwin Nunes, Alexis McAllister and Cody Gakpo giving the Reds all 3 points. Kolo Touré and Neil Mellor have watched it all there alongside me. Let's speak about the wider picture in the title race then, Mels, because we spoke about it earlier, but that pressure of having to play after the other two is going to come in the next few weeks. It comes again this weekend. All teams actually are away this weekend. Arsenal away at Brighton on Saturday night. Manchester City playing Crystal Palace Saturday lunchtime.
I think it's tough games for all three that are challenging for the title. Yeah. I think you have to bear in mind as well, how will the teams cope with Europe? City and Arsenal are in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. They've got some tough games. City have got Real Madrid. Bayern Munich are playing Arsenal. We've got Atalanta ourselves. So you're thinking, well, how are the teams going to be able to cope with playing in Europe and then going in some real tough Premier League games? I mean, looking at some of those games, you're thinking, there's a possibility to slip up there. Brighton away. Brighton have lost once at home this season. They're a good side. That'll be difficult for Arsenal. The definite potential to drop points there. Palace for City, because it's the early kickoff, you're thinking, well, OK, well, there's not a lot of turnaround there, but they should probably have too much. I think you look at the home games and think, well, probably expect all three to win all them. So it's going to be how much room for error is there going to be for those away games? And that's what it could come down to.
It's interesting when you talk about Europe as well, because obviously, you know, Champions League and, you know, Real Madrid and Bayern Munich are epic games to be involved in and emotionally draining it as well, I would imagine. So does that, not that Atalanta isn't, but maybe those two might take this all a little bit more?
Absolutely, absolutely, because, you know, those games are really intense. There's a lot of intensity on it, and there's a lot of pressure as well, and you play against top teams, you know, and they make you hard, really work hard, you know, and, you know, when you come to you come to the league, you know, it can be tiring, it can be a little bit tiring, and you can, you lose a lot of energy, and I think that counts 100%. And that's why it's very important to have a really good squad and then rotate 2-3 players to have the freshness.
Yeah, it's interesting because we're so used to Man City putting their foot on the gas at this time of the season. Some stats here for you when you look at the run-in. So in the last five seasons over the final nine games of the season, Liverpool averaging 22.6 points, Man City 22.2 and Arsenal bang on 15. So City put a run in towards the end of the season, but so do Liverpool.
Yeah, well, it's in our hands. We know that if we win all the remaining games, which is going to be hard because there's five tough away games ahead, then we win the Premier League title. You know, and it's nice to have it in our hands because in the past, it sort of felt as though we're waiting for somebody else to slip up, mainly City, and they never did. They went on those mad runs and you're thinking, surely they're going to drop points, but they never did. Arsenal last year, I felt as though they missed Saliba. Do you agree? Because Saliba is such a big player and they've improved this year in terms of Declan Rice is there, Saliba's been fit. If you have luck with injuries, you've got a good chance of winning majority of those games. I think Arsenal have had luck with injuries this season. City maybe a little bit, a couple of key players out. We've definitely not had luck with injuries, but coped with that. So, yeah, surely they can't go up and win all them games. But if we do, then we know we can win the league. But there's some tough games ahead.
I mean, you've obviously, as we said pre-match, you're kind of emotionally invested in all three teams that are involved in this. You must still have friends at Arsenal and City as well. What are they thinking about it over the next few weeks, how it's going to go?
Everybody is really excited, you know, about what happened right now in the Premier League. It's fantastic to have three fantastic teams with fantastic manager, with fantastic player, fantastic fans, you know, and we're all looking forward to it. For me, it's a privilege, you know, to have been playing for those three clubs. And like I said before, you know, I'm just watching that and enjoying. I have friends everywhere, you know, and for me, I respect that, you know, because I had great time in all three clubs, with the fans, with the staff, you know, and it's a special moment for me, definitely.
We're going to speak more about Manchester United in just a moment, but in terms of coming off the international break, Mels, it was vital. Obviously, we didn't go into it in the best fashion to pick up two wins, get that momentum going again, albeit they've maybe not been quite as comfortable as we would have anticipated, but it feels like we go to Old Trafford in a good mindset now.
Yeah, absolutely. The momentum's there. You know, you feel as though the victory against Brighton and obviously this one tonight, on the back of an international duty, it can sort of disrupt things when players have been all around the world and playing in different countries. They come back and you're not quite at it. Yep. I feel as though the players are at it, which is going to be important. I have to say that I think maybe we have to increase our levels in terms of performance if we're going to go to Old Trafford and win. Compared to tonight, what do you think? Do you think we need to be a little bit better than
absolutely
tonight?
Absolutely. Definitely, when you go United, you have to be in your best, you know, because they have a big threat up front. They have a style of play, you know, it's always difficult. And but I think, you know, Liverpool have fantastic players, you know, and they have the manager is he knows he's used to that kind of situation and environment. And I'm sure that they will perform there, definitely.
A quick word on the other end of the table, obviously, Sheffield United here tonight. We have to give them a lot of credit, I think, Mels, because, listen, yeah, we'll hold our hands up. We do a little bit.
No,
do you not think, well, we stood here pre-match and we were, I think yourself might have been convinced there would be quite a decent margin there, and it didn't quite turn out to be that way.
Do you know what? I spoke to a few people that are linked with Sheffield United and they were honest. They said they're not good enough. They haven't been good enough this season. Look at the total. 15 points. They've got no chance of getting out of it this year. I thought they'd be more competitive. I think Burnley have been not good enough either. I'm pleased that Luton have made a fight of it. But for Forest and Everton having points deducted, probably all three would probably be in much more perilous positions than they find themselves. They lost key players, Sheffield United. They're not as good as they were getting promoted last season, and they've been really poor this season. They really have.
OK, Okay, damning verdict. You probably agree, Carlo?
You'll be nicer.
I think Carlo's going to be a bit nicer. Go on.
No, I think, you know, the Premier League is a tough league. You know, there's so many good teams out there, you know, and for a team who come from the Championship, it's always difficult to compete against teams who have been in the Premier League for a few years now. And, you know, Sheffield done the best. You know, they try to... I know a few players who were in the team. They have young players as well there, you know, and the manager tried to put a strategy there to help them stay in the games and try to score on set pieces, on throwing, and that's what they can do at the moment in that league. And, you know, even Burnley, team like that, they suffer, but they were flying in the Championship. And, but, you know, this is the Premier League. It's really, really tough.
I think, in fairness to Sheffield United and Burnley, the Premier League has got better in the 2 years that Sheffield United have been out of it. And they said that the teams have got better. You think you're going to Bournemouth and maybe having a game, that you're not getting a kick. And that is the big difference that Sheffield United have found this time around. They just haven't been able to compete like they could a few years back.
Let's just touch on Manchester United a little bit more, because obviously, Carlo, it does come very soon after that really disappointing FA Cup trip there. Is that a good thing for Liverpool? Because that hurt is so fresh and they have a score to settle, essentially.
It's a great thing. It's a great thing because revenge is the best thing, you know. And it was a close game, you know. And, you know, the team have the opportunity now to show that it was... what happened was really a mistake, because I think on that day the team were the best, mm-hmm. you know. And that's a great opportunity. I'm sure that the players are looking forward to it. And, you know, they will give the best to win that game, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt, Mels, that Liverpool have more quality amongst that squad at the moment than Manchester United. But derby games, which obviously essentially it is, Northwest Derby, always throws that other element into the mix.
Yeah, we're in a better place than United. We have to say that. We're in a great position to challenge for the league. United are nowhere near it and have been for a number of seasons. The atmosphere will play a part and has done. Last two times we've been there, I just feel as though the start hasn't been good enough. And in the Premier League game, we lost 2-1. We just never really got going, and I felt as though we didn't get back into the game. In the FA Cup game, we had a terrible start, but then took control of the game. And at 2-1, you're thinking, "Cor, United are gone." But because at 2-1, and we said it about 1-0 tonight, Sheffield United, they're still in the game when it's only that scoreline at 2-1, and they ended up getting a late equalising goal. They didn't deserve that. We were the better side. We have to be more clinical, more ruthless, and we can win that game.
And you've got to think as well, we reiterated, obviously, Chelsea have beaten them 4-3 tonight, losing in the 11th minute of injury time. Ooh. Psychologically, what does that do to you as players?
Oh, wounded. They'll be wounded, won't they?
It does hurt, for sure. It does hurt for the next game, definitely, because you've been putting a lot of energy there and then you're coming home with no points at all. And I think Liverpool have to take, they have to use that, really, to just work on them.
United will be coming back and thinking, oh, I've got Liverpool next. Do you know what I mean? Just thinking maybe it's going to be a little bit of an easier game. It's not. They've got to get back at it and raise the levels, because we'll be at it on Sunday.
Obviously, Mohamed Salah as well loves playing Manchester United. Yeah. He's a player for every occasion, but especially thrives on the big ones.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he's a world-class player. He's shown it because of the consistency. He does it in the big games. You know, think about the goal contributions he's had against Manchester United over the years. One that stands out, which is quite recent, we went there and beat them 5-0. Enjoyed that one. Salah got himself a hat-trick. I feel as though he had 12 shots at the weekend. He had a few tonight. I feel as though there's a game round the corner where he's going to hit everyone. Is a hat-trick not far away for Salah? Is that sort of centre-forward? He loves scoring goals. I'd love it to be on Sunday, but I wouldn't be surprised if he got himself a hat-trick between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, he obviously came off on 60 minutes tonight, which was clearly a pre-planned thing, probably with Old Trafford's in mind on Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely. I think today was good for me, you know, because, again, when you play against a back five and you have three midfield in front of they have a free midfield in front of them, it's really difficult to hurt them. But what he was doing very well, he was making really good pass. He had really good pass that he gave to his teammate, because he was marked. He didn't have many space, and he's really smart player. He knows that on the next game, he will have opportunity.
What will the defenders of Manchester United be thinking when they see the team sheet on Sunday and they see his name there? What are they going to be thinking?
they'll be thinking we have to be on our best to defend against this guy, definitely, because he's a good machine. We know that.
He just has that ability, though, doesn't he, as well? Where even if a game's maybe not going his way or the team's way, he can create something out of nothing and create a spark of magic, which is the sign of a top player.
I think Sunday typified that, because there was a little bit of frustration for him. He'd had a few efforts. He had 12 shots, Cole, in the game. And for Mo, you probably think he's going to get a couple of the goals. He ends up getting the winning goal. He scores the winning goal, and despite the frustration and all good centre-forwards, you miss those chances, keep getting back in there.
Absolutely.
And Salah's goal record is unbelievable, but his assist record as well. And tonight, I thought he looked for a few passes maybe to be that creative spark. So his goal contributions are absolutely vital, and they're going to be needed. They are going to be needed between now and the end of the season. But big games, Mo Salah turns up. I hope he does on Sunday.
Absolutely. And another reason to be confident as well, United's home form this season has been really, really poor. 25 points from 14 games. The lowest home goal difference in their Premier League history. It feels like there's a lot of unrest at Old Trafford in general at the moment, yeah. Miles.
Well, there'll be unrest because they look at Liverpool and Man City and think they are nowhere near the levels. And that's the reality, because big rivals, and we know that, and they won't enjoy seeing that. They've had a lot of turmoil off the pitch in terms of ownership. Mm-hmm. And you know yourself as a player, when there's a lot of background noise going on with who's going to be the owner, uncertainty about their own manager, and so that hasn't helped them at all. And so Old Trafford in the past has been a very difficult place for a lot of teams to go to. It will always be difficult for Liverpool because of that rivalry, that regardless of where we are in the league table and where they are, it will always be a difficult game for us. But the likes of Bournemouth have gone there and won, Fulham have gone there and won, and that's been unheard of in years gone by.
Okay, we are coming to the end of the show. I just want to ask Colo though, have you enjoyed being back? We've loved having you.
Love it. And being with you guys here has been fantastic. Watch good football. I was expecting more goals, but at the end of the day, I'm very happy. And the team won. And it was a good night for me, definitely.
Certainly wasn't. You'll be too modest to say, but you got a rousing reception. When we walked off just before the start of the game, you walked across the cop there and you got pretty much a standing ovation from everyone who was in the cop.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's always special for me when I come back in Anfield because, I always had a really good relationship, you know, with the fans and everybody at the club. And it's a special moment definitely for me to be here. You know, I wish I can still play, be on the grass there because playing in that pitch is special.
I can imagine. You're going to enjoy every minute of the title race, I should imagine, over the next few weeks. I know your son's in football as well. Is it Leicester under-18s?
Yeah,
right?
Leicester so under-18, yeah.
The Touré name continues.
What position is he?
Striker. A forward player, exactly. Winger and then a striker as well. And in the family, we had Yaya, which he was, you know, midfield. Me as a defender now on a forward player.
Wonderful. You'll do. I mean, I feel like I'm putting you on the spot, but has what you've seen from Liverpool tonight convinced you that we could be champions this season?
The team have the potential. The team is hungry for it. Jürgen is going. The players want to give him that title. It won't be easy because Man City is a top team. Arsenal is fighting as well, but I believe that Liverpool have the capability of being champion.
That is it from this latest episode of The Reaction. We will be back though with more analysis and interviews from Old Trafford on Sunday after Liverpool take on Manchester United in the Premier League. Until then, if you haven't already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you do not miss an episode when they drop.